Now Peter,
Piper,
pick
peppers,
but run rock,
rhyme,
Humpty,
Dumpty,
fell
down,
that's his heart,
time,
Jack,
nimble,
what,
nimble,
and he was
quick,
but jam,
massive,
mud,
faster, Jack saw Jay's dick.
My little Bo Peep Cole lost her sheep, and Rip Van Winkle fell a hell asleep, and out of chilling summer in Wonderland, Jack serving Jill Bucket in his hand, and damn, Master Jay's making out that sound, the turntables might wobble, but they don't fall down.
All right, welcome back to Mad About Football. We took it back a little bit there. Classic Run DMC for you here on Mad About Football. It was that or some stupid stunting bullshit from Young Fleazy or whatever the fuck these.
Or it was Enrique Iglesias. So.
Oh. Okay, so then let's talk. Since we're talking about Enrique Iglesias here,
hi.
Let's talk about something.
Hey man, that's not it.
All right.
Yeah, that's
what?
That was Juan's idea.
Anyway. Oh yeah. Enrique Iglesias was my idea, of course. You know.
Well,
anyways,
before it deteriorates any further.
No. It's not what I say. It's the silence that it generates that says more.
True.
Anyway, so let's start talking a little bit of South America, man. Hey, Argentina is, for those of you who say that in that league only River and Boca win titles, well, I guess this whole tournament is flipping that theory upside down. You got in the first five places, you have, in no necessary order, you have Lanús, you have Vélez Sarsfield, you have Huracán, Colón, and am I missing one, Mike?
Vélez. You said Vélez?
I said Vélez. I said Huracán. I said Estudiantes. I think is in fifth place.
Nah, they're not in it, bro.
Yeah, they are.
Nah, no way.
Yeah, they are.
Really?
Yes, they are, dude.
They were. All right.
Yes, they.
Like 2 weeks ago, they were like they were down the cellar with along with Boca in the standings.
Well,
but okay.
neither of them are anymore. That's for sure. So.
I think it's a league where Boca and River dominate, but compared to leagues like
Spain, in sixth place
Italy,
you have Godoy Cruz.
It's a little bit more spread out. You know, you'll see smaller teams occasionally win it. For example, Lanús in 07, Newell's in 04. Vélez is always in the running every couple of years, so it's a little bit more spread out.
And especially now that they went to the shorter tournament where you only have 19 games, you know, have a clausura and apertura. If it was one season where you had 38 games, I think the Boca, the Rivers, it would probably, you know, they'd be near the top every year. But since you have two shorter tournaments, it gives a team like you said, like a Lanús, a Tigre, an opportunity to win. So that makes it a lot more interesting.
Now, obviously, the two big teams in the Argentine League, you have Boca and River. What's wrong with both of these teams? First of all, I mean, River Plate is just, I mean, last weekend they got their asses absolutely handed to by Huracán, who is looking, I mean, phenomenal. Arguably, they have probably the most explosive, probably the most exciting, and the best player in the league right now, arguably in Javier Pastore. Also, you have a lot of division within that club, or is it just because the effect of the losing that's been going on since, you know, going back to last tournament?
You're talking about River?
Yeah.
River right now, what they're going through is a lot of political turmoil and financial troubles, and the fact that they haven't had a competitive team in quite some time. I mean, the fact that they finished last in the last tournament was a big blow for them. They don't find any stability with the players they have, with the coaches they get. They don't perform the way. Remember River, Juan, like in the 90s, you know, when they were really competitive. They would always stay on top of the standings. They would always compete in Libertadores. They're so far from that, you know.
Not even the teams from the 90s. I mean, I'm talking about from the teams from 2000. You know, I mean, the teams that have won local, you know, have won domestic titles in the past couple of years.
They've always been identified with the glamour type of soccer where, you know, kind of like Real Madrid, you know, like this fancy you know, the pristine kind of soccer where it's just beautiful game, you know, and they've really have not been playing like that. And I'd say at least like the last 3-4 seasons, mm-hmm. it's been really hard to, and even though they won a championship, not too long, what was it? Like 3 years ago, right?
That was it was last year.
Yeah. So, oh no, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But either way, despite that championship, overall, they've been just not River as far as their tradition of soccer is concerned.
But is it
and
because...
like I said, it's, the problem is there's a lot of political turmoil in that club. They're not doing well financially. They're not getting the results on the field either. They keep every year there's some kind of scandal in international competition as far as being eliminated in Libertadores by, you know, second tier club teams from countries like, you know, Peru. And that's a knock on these countries or anything, but I mean, when you figure that you're River and you've had a long tradition in the cup, you're getting ousted by San Martin de Porres, you know, it's kind of like something's wrong here. This is not supposed to be happening. And every year it's something. Last year it was losing, or not losing, but being eliminated by San Lorenzo at home with two more men on the field. You know, so, you know, it's a lot of turmoil right now for them, and it's really hard for them to get out of it. They can't, you know, they're lucky they can even play one half of soccer at a decent level.
Now, let's switch the attention a little bit to Boca. I mean, I was watching, not this past weekend's game, but the weekend before last when they played
San Lorenzo.
I think for the first time in God knows how long, I've seen a Boca team that has literally gotten old right in front of my eyes.
Yeah. And Riquelme has been missing too for a long while, so that has to help.
He's been missing in action. Probably the biggest flop in Argentine football as far as signing is concerned has been Abbondanzieri.
He has
been horrid. I mean, he's been horrid.
He's not the Pato that blew up in Boca, you know, 4 or 5 seasons ago.
Well, he's not even the Pato that blew up at Getafe,
right?
Three seasons ago.
He's lost a step. He's lost for a lot of these crosses that come into the box. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but it seems like he's always a second off as far as calculating them to anticipate the cross or to try to catch it he's not at the level that you would expect him to be.
In a lot of his goals, he's also been caught on the line instead of coming out and trying to cut angles. He's been exposed a lot of times. I mean, as far as his ability to cut angles, his ability to set up walls. I mean, well, in Argentina, it's different now. You know, ever since they started playing the magic spread, and George and I talked about this a little while ago. But I mean, he has been without a doubt the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, there's a lot of examples that you can point out. For example, in the game against Banfield that they lost at home, the third goal they gave up to Banfield with like 2 minutes left or something like that. I mean, it was just, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was trying to get a butterfly. I don't know what he was doing, man. He just, you know, kind of look at it and you're just like, wow, really?
Yeah. He's been in bad shape. I mean, Ibarra has been injured on and off constantly for months now.
I read an article that I can't remember what medium it was today, but I read an article that Boca officials or of the club are wanting to look for a new goalkeeper, but like top of the line one. Like they want to go out and shop goalkeepers.
Who?
They didn't drop any names, but the word's going around that, you know, they're interested in getting a goalkeeper, or at least reinforcing the goalkeeper position for next season.
Well, I mean, Javi Garcia did a pretty good job when he was in last season. I mean, if they're going to start looking at older guys, I mean, hey, Oscar Cordoba is available. I mean, he already rescinded his contract, so why not?
But, I mean, goalkeeping has been like the over the last 4 or 5 years between the Bobadilla experiment that didn't work too well, and then Caranta, you know, I don't know what happened to Caranta.
With him was a division with him and Ischia,
right?
So I mean,
and now Pato not working out. I mean, this is, you know, goalkeeping usually isn't a problem for Boca, but the last 4 or 5 years has been a big problem.
But it's not a problem just in Boca; it's a problem in Argentine football.
Yeah, Argentina has not been known to produce, you know, goalkeepers, good goalkeepers on a consistent basis.
I mean, the last real good goalkeeper you've seen in Argentina is Fillon. And everybody knows how long that was ago. So, I mean...
Yeah. maybe even Goygochea for his heroics.
Oh, but come on.
In 1990, you know, but I mean...
But he wasn't a goalkeeper. I mean, he was a guy that could stop penalty kicks.
Argentina struggles to produce a lot of good goalkeepers.
Let's just shift a little bit to another team that I've been seeing, Huracan, Lanús. I mean, these teams have really set up some really nice teams for the future. Unfortunately, based on the economic situation of the teams, they're probably not going to last too long. I mean, guys like Pastore, who's already been looked at by, surprise, surprise, Real Madrid, Manchester United, Porto, among many. I mean, he is probably the best player in the league. What makes Mike, what makes him so special?
I think one of the main reasons is that he shines in a club like Huracan. You know how hard it is to play at a high level at such a crap team like that. I mean, not crap. In as far as let me see if I can clarify here. Not crap.
Excuse me, Huracan fans. Mike is in Miami, just in case. So you know, don't start getting on Jonathan or anything like that. Okay. So we have a lot of enemies.
Okay. Let me see if I not crappy now. Obviously, they're not a crappy team now. They're 2 points out of first place. What I'm saying is, traditionally, they're always fighting relegation, or they're either promoting from second division or dropping, but they go up and down like it's all good.
Right.
You know, so it's really hard to find a club, a small club like Huracan, where they could hold a competitive team for a season, 2 seasons. That's what I mean by crappy, because every time two guys come out of the youth divisions, boom, they're gone. They score 2 goals and that's it. They're out. They don't hold them.
They can market them down there. That's for sure.
Exactly. So for a guy like Pastore to be so successful in a club like Huracan, you know, I think it, you know, and he basically carries his team too. I mean, not just him, but he's actually one of the leaders on this team, and he plays really well, man. He's a really good player.
Sick part, he's only 19 years old.
Amazing. The thing with those kids, though, you got to see that, you know, they don't hit these slumps, and you know, because it happens. But I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. And
no doubt.
To be honest with you, the second Huracan gets a $5 million, $6 million, $8 million, you know, sum of money for Pastore for his transfer, they're going to let him go. You know, how do you say no to that money over there?
Yeah.
You were saying, George?
I was going to ask you guys, do you think he's going to do, because in the past, you would see somebody, you know, I take the example of Palacio. Palacio blew up at Banfield, and then he went to Boca, and then he went, well, he didn't go to Europe, but most of the time it's been small club, Boca or River, and then Europe. And I was going to ask you guys if you see that same path for Pastore. Do you think he's going to go to either Boca River and then go Europe, or...
Probably not. With River, I doubt it, because they don't have any money. Now, right. the only way River can get reinforcements is through third parties. You know how in Argentina there's the habit of, you know, you have businessmen that clubs hire, and then through those businessmen or agents, they pay basically for River's reinforcements. Now I don't see River buying Pastore. As far as Boca is concerned, they need to sell. They haven't really started. They sold Dátolo in the last this year, actually, in this past tournament. Mm-hmm. And but they're gonna be looking to sell in the off season. And third of all, like I said, you just mentioned, you know, the big dogs from Europe, you know, Madrid, Manchester. These guys will play twice, three times as more as Boca or River combined, you know. So I don't see him staying in Argentina right now.
No way. He's just got too much talent, and there's too much money coming in from Europe, and hell, even from Mexico, for that matter, for him to stay. But I don't see him obviously going to Mexico. But going back to River as well, Boca. I mean, Boca has some issues that they got to settle as well. I mean, they have some players that they possibly might not even sign. You know, I mean, Palermo is a given. They're going to sign him. But a guy like Morel Rodriguez, they're probably not going to sign him, and he's been a backbone of that defense. There's rumors saying that they might not even sign Fabian Vargas back. And I think that would be a huge mistake.
That would be a huge mistake because he's actually been playing really well, especially alongside Bataglia. They've actually anchored that midfield. Mm-hmm. And if there's any bright spots this season on that Boca team, it's those two guys. I think they should make the effort to sign Vargas, and I really think they should make the effort to sign Figueroa again. They should really renew his at least renew the loan or actually buy the complete transfer. But Figueroa should stay in Boca, yeah, without a doubt.
No doubt. Now let's shift our attention a little bit from Argentina to a little bit further up north. A little incident that occurred earlier in this week, and this is what's going to lead us to our international talk. Everybody remembers who Jose Luis Chilaver is, of course, right?
Chilaver!
Yes. Chila was in a little incident with the ambassador from Uruguay to Paraguay the other day at the Paraguayan airport. Fine, you know, that whole brouhaha happened. Then he had an interview with the press later in the week and said that the CONMEBOL, and as much as CONMEBOL has been in the middle of controversy the past couple of weeks, that CONMEBOL favors the Argentine and Brazilian teams in international play. Guys, where do you see this? I mean, do you see any truth? Do you see, you know, Chilaver is always a controversial player or a controversial individual. Do you see any truth to this?
First of all, let me just say this. Chilaver is like the soccer version of Charles Barkley. Okay?
Mm-hmm. He literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. He's probably as big as Charles Barkley, and he's not afraid to say a thing. So there's we'll put that out there. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if that's true. I don't necessarily think it's true. I think Argentina and Brazil have the good fortune and the organization to have the best players, the best talent, the best organizations in terms of their domestic, the way they run their football domestically. That said, we all know that in every tournament, international tournament in South America, Libertadores Sudamericana, it's always the sexy matchup to have a Brazilian team against an Argentine team. Now, I don't have proof, none of us have proof that what he said is true, but if for some, let's say something happened and some proof did come out that was true, it wouldn't surprise anybody. So
the only proof that he did show, I don't know, for lack of a better term, proof, was the fact he used Boca as the prime example. Boca in these tournaments gets Colombian refs or Paraguayan refs 80-90% of the time. And during those instances, 80-90% of those times, they get one of two Paraguayan or Colombian refs every single time. So he's like, hey, you know, these referee matchups are not favoring Boca. Also, he brought up to the attention of the media interviewing him of the away leg of the Libertad Estudiantes game that was quite controversial. So, I mean,
Libertad wasn't going to win it anyway. They were down 3-0.
But it wasn't the result he's talking about. It was about some calls that did not go Libertad's way.
Right.
Particularly one of the penalties.
You know, to add to George's comments, mm-hmm. And I agree with you, George, it's hard to say, yeah, they do. But, I mean, there's certain things that you see that kind of makes you, it kind of hints you that they do. For example, you want an obvious example? Sudamericana. What two countries get the most spots?
Yep.
They get Brazil has like 8 teams in the Sudamericana, 10 teams. Argentina has 6 teams, 7
teams.
And two of them are invited. Like, who invites anyone to a tournament? You qualify for a tournament for all I'm concerned.
Right.
Not that they can't do it. Obviously, Boca and River, you know, theoretically speaking, you know, they can accumulate enough points in a season where they can qualify to the Sudamericana. But to be invited to a tournament, And like I said, you know, these two countries always have the most, even in Libertadores, you know, they'll have 5-4 teams. And then you have countries like Colombia where they'll have 2 clubs playing in the same group, you know.
Right.
So there's certain things that I don't know if they're biased to Brazil or Argentina, if you want to be so blatant about it, but I'm sure there's things that they favor more for the Brazilians and the Argentines, just because they're the ones that provoke more interests, and as far financially speaking, you know, they're the ones that have the most fans. So there's a lot of things that, you know, works in their favor to where, you know, things can go their way a little bit more compared to other teams in South America.
I mean, one part of me says yes, they do favor them. But you sit down coldly and you look at the facts and you look at the track records, and you know, you can't deny it that, you know, that these teams have earned some of these perks, if you want to call them that.
Right.
To me, it's just Chile Ver being Chile Ver and him just trying to bring a point across. Does it have a degree of truth? Maybe.
I don't think anything's going to change just because Chile Ver said that. Everything's going to be exactly the same way the same way it is now.
It's not going to change. But if you start having other people, and remember, Paraguay has a lot more clout within CONMEBOL than your average South American team. I mean, Colombia has no clout, let's be honest. I mean, they don't. I mean, they have been screwed over in the sense that, you know, anything that they bring up or any propositions they bring up immediately get shot down. Fine. That's just the nature of the beast. And if as much as Grondona was saying that, you know, he was in favor, or excuse me, against the high altitude ban, he was one of the people that was, you know, whispering in Step Blatter's ear about, hey, you know, I think it would be a good idea if it weren't for Maradona stepping in and saying, hey, you know what, it's not a good idea, and what everything that ensued after that.
Right.
So, I mean, there is certain clout that Brazil and Argentina have that Ricardo Teixeira and Julio Grondona both have. I mean, obviously, they're both FIFA vice presidents, so, I mean, they got to have certain clout, don't they?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, like, and you mentioned it, the Argentina and Brazil put out the best players. They are, I mean, you're talking about two of the top five great countries of football in the world. You know, of course people are going to show them a little more love than, you know, a Peru and a Chile, you know. So you can see how Chilevich's comments make sense. There's just no rock hard proof of it, you know.
And here, let's be honest too. If a Colombian team would have said, you know what, we're not going to go play in Mexico, the Colombian team would have probably been forfeiting. Straight up honest.
Right.
Straight up. I mean, this is the absolute truth. Because Nacional is a South American historical powerhouse. Defensor. Well, no, it was Nacional.
It was Nacional. Nacional and Sao Paulo.
I mean, these two are pretty big heavyweights historically in South America. But if it were a Colombian team, they would have been forced to go to Mexico. That's a completely different issue, whether it's right or wrong, whatever side of the fence you stand on. My point is if, you know, Sao Paulo didn't want to go, they didn't have to.
They didn't have to, right.
America wanted to go, didn't want to go, they would have been forced to go.
Right. And Sao Paulo winning, having the most Brasileirão championships, what, three Libertadores championships, which is the most for a Brazilian team. You can make the argument that they've earned the right to dictate their own terms. You know, you can't really make an argument against Sao Paulo, who's a massive club, saying, hey, I don't want to do this. I'm Sao Paulo. I don't need to do that. You know, so.
But you see, that's the whole problem there. It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing as well, because then all of a sudden these clubs become bigger than, you know, above the law.
Ego.
They become above the law. I mean, you know, and unfortunately that's what did in the Mexican side. And they, in order to save face and to be able to say, hey, you know what, don't mess with us like this. I mean, we're not, you know, we're not here begging, you know, for your attention and for your help. Hey, well, screw you. We'll leave. Peace. Bye. You know, but if it were a Colombian team, things would have been different. If it were a Peruvian team, things would have been different. If it would have been a Bolivian team, things would have been different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you did. Yeah, I think so. I think
there's no doubt. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, even right before we saw the matchups, Boca was already saying, "Hey, you know what? We're not going." And there ain't a thing you're gonna do about it because we're not going.
Right.
You know, I mean, so they have their agendas already set, and you know, it's unfortunate. Like I said, going back to your original point, whether Chila Vera is right or wrong, you know, that's still left to be, you know, decided. But there's some truth to what he's saying. Anyways, hey, Argentina beat Panama today, 3-1. Other than that, I mean, get ready for some real good, you know, tail end of South American tournaments.
Oh,
qualifiers are actually coming up before you know it, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We also got to start getting ready,
we're
guys.
We're only a couple of weeks away.
We're only a couple of weeks away from that. And you know what? We're a couple of weeks away from Confederations Cup. So, a lot of good shite coming up.
Let me ask you guys real quick. This tomorrow, Boca and Defensor, second leg of the round of 16. 2-2, the first leg. I mean, realistically, does Defensor have any shot of advancing, knowing that the second leg is going to be at La Bombonera? Do they have any shot? I know it's 2-2 and, you know, go by, you know, it's by aggregate. So if they get one goal, they win 1-0, they're in. But realistically, do they have a shot going beating Boca at La Bombonera, second leg?
Well, here's the thing. If they want to go through, they're going to have to score goals. And because with the 0-0, Boca goes through. With the 1-1, Boca goes through. With the minimal 1-0, Boca, there's a lot of results that favor Boca. So Defensor is going to have to go and score some goals and try to win the game. Now, the negative or the downside to doing that is they're going to give up a lot of space. And you do that in La Bombonera, you're probably going to get scored on.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll see.
But they're a tough little team, and I don't think it's over yet. I think Boca should have the edge on them. But you never know in these tournaments, man. To be honest with you, these Libertadores tournaments, especially in South America, like anything can just come out of nowhere.
We'll see what happens. I mean, we also got to see which Boca team shows up as well, because you know, if we see the tired old team,
it also depends on Riquelme. If Riquelme is having a good night, then Boca will have a good night. If Riquelme is on an off night, then they're going to have trouble.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyways, guys, it was awesome having you on tonight. Kevin Walker was on with us tonight. El Presidente Manda was on. Our boy Jonathan Starling was on. Thank you, Jonathan, for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
And George, Mike, dude, we'll be back next week, and we'll be, you know, doing a wrap-up of the Champions League final. Any predictions? Jonathan, Champions League prediction.
Barcelona 4-1.
Really?
Oh. Fuck wow. Manchester United.
We've got that recorded right now, so.
Jonathan got some. Yo, to pick a scoreline like that, you got to have balls as big as Chilavert and Barkley combined. So yeah, that's balls right there.
But 4-1, where do you see that, dude?
I just think that Guardiola is going to basically tell his players, look, you want to shut up the world about what league is the best. Mm-hmm. Go out there and fucking punch them in the goddamn mouth, and I think that's what they're gonna do.
Punch them in the mouth. Wow.
Repeatedly.
That's gonna.
yeah. Well, no.
And furthermore, I think United are going to play scared football, and I think Barcelona can break it down, and I think they will be able to break it down easily. I don't think Van der Sar is that great of a keeper. I think that United have easily exploitable positions, and I think that Vidic is a half a step slower than what he was at the start of the year. Yes, Barcelona are going to be without, you know, a couple of key pieces, But I think they can.
I heard Rio Ferdinand might not be in.
I believe that's Fergie trying to play the mind games with the media.
Yeah,
that's true. He's saying John O'Shea's going to play in the damn final, for Christ's sakes. Does anyone realistically believe that? Because I sure as hell don't.
I don't think so either.
I don't see it. Well, Darren Fletcher's not going to be there, so... You know, who's next down below, you know, next down the ladder, I guess, John O'Shea. It's 4-1, man. It just seems too much for me. Hey, I've been wrong before, so, I mean, you know.
It could happen, hey, you never know.
It could happen. I mean, I was thinking, you know, is this final going to be like Sampdoria, or is it going to be like Milan for Barcelona? And, I mean, don't get me wrong. Nemanja Vidic and Rio Ferdinand are two different creatures when it comes to a ball being on the ground and having to defend a ball in the air. I mean, those two, I mean, there's no way that Messi or Eto'o or Iniesta or any of those guys are going to beat those two guys in the air, obviously. But on the ground, that's a different story.
Yeah, Barca don't play in the air. They don't play in the air.
Exactly.
Barcelona's pace is going to take Manchester United apart. And I would almost and I'm going to go ahead and predict this. I think Messi gets two goals, and I think the pussy mama Ronaldo, is going to have one of his worst games of his life. And Real Madrid's going to go, we don't fucking need that worthless piece of shit.
Okay. All right.
Let me put it to you this way.
It's hard to follow that up right there.
You know, I would rather be wrong with the big score line than do how everyone's going to go, we're going to pick Man United 1-0, 2-1. It's going to be a tense final. I don't think it's going to be that tense. I think this game is going to be over with before halftime. And the Spanish contingent will get the party started just a wee bit early.
We'll see.
All right, so we got Jonathan's pick there. Mike, what do you see? What's your prediction for the final?
Well, I think I'm going to ride the Jonathan bandwagon and play a little music to his ears. And I'm going to say Barca 2-1.
You got one.
I don't know. I'm still trying. Maybe I'm probably overanalyzing just way too much, you know, each matchup. To me, it's just way too much to try and overcome not having Dani Alves and not having Eric Abidal, not having Rafa Marquez, and having Iniesta and Henry less than 100%. I don't know if Manchester will. I mean, they're obviously scoreboard wise, they're going to beat them, but I don't think they're going to beat them because they were so much better. I mean, probably, you know, 3-2, you know, 2-1, something like that. I just, you know, Barca. I don't see 100% Barca right now.
You stole my scoreline, man. I was going to say 3-2 in favor. See. My head tells me Manchester United. My heart tells me Barca. And in soccer, I'm going to make this decision with my heart because I just don't want Manchester United to win. So I'm guessing Barca 3-2 because Barca's game is possession. If your game is possession, then your back line doesn't have to be super solid. And their back line is going to be down because, like you said, no Alves, no Abidal. They control enough possession where they might be able to mask that. And they might be able to get away with it. But I think that Manchester United has enough speed and midfield play that they can exploit that line. But, like you said, Vidic and Ferdinand can't play. They're not great on the ground. Messi and Henry, that's too much for any defense. Don't forget Xavi. And I think scoring 3-2. If it's, I kind of have a 3-goal limit. If the combined score is less than 3 goals, it favors Manchester United. The combined score is more than 3 goals, it favors Barcelona. So I'm picking Barcelona 3-2.
Also, Barca, we've seen time and time and time and time and time again, their aerial game is putrid. I mean, they can't defend any set pieces. They can't defend crosses.
That might be where they get the goals, where Manchester United get two goals.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think so, too. They're not... Yeah. The for Manchester United, the guys that really have to make it big, and if he plays, and I think he should, would be Anderson. Anderson would be probably be the guy that would have to have a huge, I mean, a huge game for Manchester United. For Barcelona, it's going to have to be Yaya Touré. If he controls the middle, if he's controlling the pace of the game and the middle behind Xavi, things are going to happen for Barcelona.
Well, if you look at the lineups the last couple of weeks, Yaya Touré might be in the center of defense.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll have... Here's the big problem with Barcelona. They're probably going to have Silvinho on the right and Puyol on the left. Okay, fine. Bring Yaya Touré in to the center alongside Piqué. See, that's the big issue for me.
Right.
You know, I mean, Puyol's a very capable left back. Very capable left back and has as much range to attack as Abidal does. But when he comes back, that's the big issue. Now, Abidal's able to come back. And obviously, Silvinho's no Dani Alves.
Yeah, and Silvinho being what on the...
on the right.
On the right, yeah. So
and now you have a problem right there from the beginning. You have two left-footed right and left backs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Puyol is going to be matched up on Cristiano Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we'll see. We'll see. And Keita, you know, Keita will probably have to play a huge game if he's asked to come in. But it's going to be one of those guys in that defensive midfield area for both teams that if they're controlling that area, whoever's controlling those particular sectors of the field, that's the team that's going to end up being most successful.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Depending, you know, based on their particular styles of play. So we'll see.
Definitely.
And I mean, I hope Barca wins. I would like to see Barca win. And you know, it would be kind of nice to see certain people in the media here, soccer-wise, kind of, you know, being quiet and having to, you know, and Jonathan would agree with me as well, having to hear them kind of eat some humble pie.
Shoot, they need to eat a whole fucking bakery full of humble shit. Because damn, this is getting ridiculous.
Humble shit. Okay, that's a new one. But anyways, all right, guys. So we'll be back next week. We'll talk quite a bit of the Champions League final. You know, do one huge wrap up as far as Europe is concerned. I mean, more than what we talked about today. And we're gonna start gearing up for what you know, the tail end of South American seasons, as well as Copa Lib, and you know, get ready for the Confederations Cup. So, for the blogging badass Jonathan Starling, George Metellus, and Mike Lopez, this is Juan. Thank you for existing. Peace.
Bleep, 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 bleep. Massive fire.